In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I will read the Word of God from the first book of Moses, from chapter 50, from verse 15 to 21, and the words are heard in Jesus' name as follows. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren, and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? For as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Amen. In the beginning, I would like to ask you for assistance. You who have studied religion in school, in Sunday school, in Bible class, of you who have heard about the story of Joseph, and especially I would ask you grandmothers and grandfathers who long time ago sat at Bible history lessons and learned them by heart. This amazing story in the life of Joseph. How did this story go? What happened to Joseph? I cannot go into all the details in my sermon, these phases of Joseph's life. So, tell one another. There, in the car, on the way to the services, or at you who are listening at home, to your siblings, or perhaps mother and father, do not remember all the amazing phases of Joseph's life, what happened to him long, long ago, and even in general, you grandmothers and grandfathers who know the Bible and the eternal stories in the Bible, tell these stories to your grandchildren. Tell them and remind them of what they have meant to you. In our time, we pine over how it used to be in school, how there used to be more religious instruction, and how we studied the Bible more and memorized things from the Bible. This is probably true. I was among the first to attend the comprehensive school, and I remember how the curriculum changed. We no longer had to remember things by heart. We spoke of things in a more general matter, in a more general level. But so I noticed that the elementary school child in the 2000s had to learn the names of the sons of Jacob by heart. Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtar, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. I remembered these. I had to memorize them when I was in elementary school. I have them here on paper. I don't know if I would have remembered them, otherwise I could have cheated. But this text speaks of these brothers. The oldest was Reuben, and the youngest was Benjamin, and the second youngest was Joseph, whose phases are so amazing. These phases of his life was sold by his envious brothers. He was sold to be a slave, and he ended up in Egypt. And what all happened in Egypt. We are told in the Bible a little bit earlier how it was a terrible thing, a terrible experience for Jacob to lose his son. His sons and daughters tried to comfort him, but he did not care for this comforting, and he just said that I will grieve until I go into the afterlife. And the father wept because of Joseph. We are told in the Bible how Joseph ended up in prison and he experienced evil things. But he also rose to become a ruler, become a trusted person of the ruler, the Pharaoh. This is a story of a strong man, a successful man who rose up to be successful. But the Bible does not say that Joseph was sorrowful over all of this which he experienced. The Bible teaches us that Joseph trusted in God, and he believed that the Heavenly Father would take care of him and lead his life, which even seemed very difficult at times. He had to experience the violence of his own brothers, unfair treatment by his brothers. When we think that at that time the family meant everything, it was a group of close people, just as it is today, beloved people. But at the same time, it was also a security network, and it had many temporal meanings. All of this was taken away from, all the security was taken away from Joseph, but he still trusted in God. But these were not easy matters for Joseph, even though he became the most trusted man of the Pharaoh, became a minister of the land of Egypt. We are told how he gave his oldest son the name Manasseh, that he is able to make one forget. We know what all Joseph wanted to forget. Many things had happened in his life which he wanted to forget. But then came the time and that day when Joseph met his brothers. the time came for Joseph and for his brothers to meet the past or become reconciled with the past. And we are told about this toward the end of this first book of Moses, when his brothers came to get food. We remember that Joseph had explained Pharaoh's dreams and guided Pharaoh. He told them that during the 7 years of plenty, they had to save, to store things against the 7 years of famine. And then during these years of famine, people came from all around. And Joseph's brothers also had to leave Jacob to get food. And the brothers were treated well. They were able to speak to a minister of the Pharaoh, which was their own long-lost brother. Joseph recognized his brothers, but the brothers did not recognize Joseph. They spoke a strange language. It is said in the Bible that the brothers spoke with their native tongue without guessing that this minister of the Pharaoh understood them. They spoke about Joseph wanted to try his brothers, and his brothers said, "We have surely earned this punishment because of what we did for our brother. We saw him in his anguish when he begged for grace, and we did not listen to him. And for this reason, we are now in difficulty." And here, Joseph went away and wept. In all these other phases, we are not told that Joseph wept, but when his brothers spoke in this way, and they admitted that they had done wrong, we did not listen to him, and that is why we are now in difficulty. And when Joseph heard this, even though his brothers did not know that he understood, he went away and he wept. These memories came, painful memories. A second time in chapter 45, we are told how Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And the brothers find their long lost brother. Now Joseph was no longer able to control himself. Since there were many servants present, he cried, "Everyone leave." No strangers were present when Joseph told his brothers who he was. He wept aloud, so loudly that the Egyptians heard. This was a touching moment for Joseph, and it was a touching moment for his brothers. Joseph cried so loudly that those members of the court of Pharaoh who were sent away were surely amazed and wondered what was happening there. And after this, Joseph spoke to his brothers about God's plans. "So it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." And so he sends his brothers to go get his father also from the homeland. And later it is said how Joseph's brother Benjamin, the youngest brother, who had the same mother as Joseph, Rachel, the other brothers were actually half-brothers. And when Joseph meets Benjamin, the Bible tells us Joseph wept when he saw Benjamin, and Benjamin hugged him and wept. Then he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And then there were these words in the Bible, which are not opened more specifically. And it says, after that, his brethren talked with him. And after that, his brethren talked with him. They had much to talk about. If God wills, I would like to return to this talking long with his brothers. Then there's this place in the Bible where the old father, Jacob, is able to see his long-lost son. Joseph harnessed his wagon and went to meet his father, Israel, which was Jacob's second name, after which the people of Israel were named. He went to meet his father Israel, and as soon as he saw Jacob, he ran and wept. In this story, at the end of this long story, there is much weeping. But it is weeping which is connected to good matters. It is also connected to these sad matters. When Joseph weeps, he weeps because of all of the bad things he has experienced, which are deep in his mind. And in this text which I read, there also we can say that even though they had spoken of these matters and they had repaired these matters, when Joseph's brother began to think, when their father was dying, that perhaps he will still have vengeance against us for all the evil which we did unto him. And they send a messenger to Joseph saying, reminding him of what father said, what father commanded. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And when he heard this, heard his brothers asking for forgiveness, we are told that Joseph wept. This was not an easy matter even yet. It is not easy to forgive from the heart. It is not easy to forget everything which we have suffered wrongly. There is no doubt. that the brothers had treated him very badly. His big brothers had treated their little brother, Joseph, very badly. They rejected him, sold him into slavery, treated him in the worst way possible. When Joseph and his brothers discussed this matter, they spoke long. We can think that they spoke about painful matters. They returned to the time, to things that they had tried to forget. Joseph and all his brothers on their part also, who knew that they had done wrongly. That is it possible for us to correct these matters? The Word of God teaches us that there is no fear in love. Speaking of even difficult matters, as Joseph and his brothers spoke of difficult matters, it was not a mandatory thing. It was not a bad thing. It was the love of God. He allowed them to talk long about difficult matters. And speaking about difficult matters within the family, amongst friends, amongst the people of God, is an important thing. We trust that there is no fear in love, and so we dare to talk. And even as evildoers, and even when treated evil wrongly, we dare to speak. And most important, in the end, as with Joseph and his brothers, it is most important that we ask for forgiveness and that we forgive. At home, amongst friends, and in the midst of the congregation of God. It helped the sons of Jacob, and it will help us in our family and amongst our dearest believing friends and in our home Zion. It helps us as the congregation of God to speak of even painful matters, and that we ask for forgiveness, and that we forgive from the heart, not with our own strength and power, knowing not that we have to do so, but that we receive the power from God to forgive. We preach forgiveness one to another in Jesus' name and blood, not in our own name, but in the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His atonement blood. When Joseph's brothers came to mend their ways after the death of their father, the brothers came and fell before him, that we will become your servants even. We want to repay our evil deeds. We are willing to take the position that we sold you into. But how did this man of God, this believing Joseph, answer? He comforted, "Do not be fearful. I will nourish you and your little ones, your wives and your children." And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. Forgiveness is not an obligation of the law. It is not something where one who asks for forgiveness can require the one to forgive. We cannot think that I have transgressed against you, so you have to forgive me. The Bible does not teach in this way. This is not a fruit of faith. But the correct mind is that I will even become a slave to you. I have no other possibility than to hope that you have the strength to forgive me. And even as outsiders, if we know that there are things that need to be mended between children of God, we cannot begin to demand forgiveness. We cannot read the law to them that you have to do in this way, but we ask and we pray that the other one would have the strength to ask for forgiveness and the other would have the strength to forgive. God gives this strength so that we have the strength to ask for forgiveness and also gives us the strength to forgive. The fact that there have been contradictions between believers throughout all time, which arise from our own flesh and from our own sinfulness, there are reasons to ask for forgiveness. But then there are matters for which we cannot ask for forgiveness. We understand from the doctrine of Christ that we cannot ask for forgiveness for having a different understanding of doctrine. The matters of doctrine are not matters of negotiation. They are not matters in which we can have different opinions. This doctrine of the creation and the salvation, that which we recite in the confession of faith about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that which we teach about how a sinful man can become acceptable to God. He becomes acceptable to God when, because of the merit of Jesus Christ and his atonement work, we have all our sins forgiven and we are born again as children of God. We become a member of the invisible kingdom of God, and we become a member of the visible congregation of God and the communion of saints. These matters are unchanging, and we call all people into this communion of saints. In this Christianity, in our dear holy family, we have had such phases. That things have happened for which we have had to ask for forgiveness and forgive. When I think of these matters that happened 50 years ago, when there was this heresy of the priests, the pastors from the kingdom of God, and also in the 70s when there were these times of battle, which I was able to view as a child. They were difficult times, times which have been hushed even. Here we have needed forgiveness, asking for forgiveness and also forgiving. The correct doctrine, however, is unchanging. Truth does not change. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. when truth has gone ahead of all else, then we have, then one may have been offended by the kingdom of God. But here, there is told to us in the Gospel according to Saint John that many were offended by Jesus and his life and the living Christ. And when Jesus asked his own 12 disciples, that will you also go away? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we turn? For you have the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom would we turn? This is the most important matter. When there have been times of battling in the congregation of God, there has been violence even, there have been difficult matters. And we still have memories of them, perhaps unspoken memories. The most important thing is that we would find this communion of the children of God, where even yet is preached the eternal word, the gospel, and the forgiveness of sins in this communion of saints. This family stayed together through the power of forgiveness, only by the power of the gospel of Christ. And for you who have never been able to experience this, or you cannot remember, to you also belongs, even now, this call to return into the family of God. Repentance, the sermon of repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. We may say that I changed my mind, I didn't go, I came back. The road was in bad shape, I had to return. The road was wrong, I had to come back. I had to make a U-turn. I had to adjust my direction. This is what repentance means, returning. And this is what we proclaim from the kingdom of God. Even today, come back, return, turn back. We are taught about this returning in the confession of our church, the Confession of Augsburg. The congregation teaches about repentance, that those who have fallen after baptism can receive their sins forgiven whenever, when they turn, and the church must forgive them who return in this way to repent. Repentance is returning, returning to childhood faith in which we have been baptized. Childhood faith. Where we have not been, and a little child has not been. Because a little baby is innocent, has not sinned, but he is only because of the merit of Christ. Only by the merit of Christ is he acceptable to God. And also acceptable to be partake of the covenant of baptism. This childlike faith this matter of returning to childlike faith is difficult, but it is not difficult. As Saint John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So every person has been created by God's Word. And the Word is written in capital letters. This Word was the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all saved by Christ. So already in our birth, in the beginning of our life, we have been able to meet the Word of God, this creating Word, Christ. And on this is based the faith of a child. Everyone is invited to these services. This is a very public occasion. And at these services, Jesus is the friend of all sinners. And to all sinners is the exhortation to repent. And you are told that all sins can be forgiven in the Lord's, in the name and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have had in my mind this matter of how very much is preached in adult language here at the services. We have to preach about the doctrine and the doctrine of Christ. But these are matters which a child may not understand. A child does not understand all these words. But I would like to approach you 5-year-olds. There are many here at services who are 5 years old or will soon be 5 years old. You who are coming, you 5-year-olds who are coming to services, you are living a special time of life. You have come to know, or you are coming to know, that all people die. I would especially like to comfort you that even though it is a fearful matter, but it is not such a terribly fearful matter that you cannot get over it. And that is why the summer services are such a great event. And they have been arranged because all of us will die one day. But is it not so that after their death, all believers will reach heaven? And more important, that all the children in this world are believers on the base of that doctrine which I just explained. And I would like to encourage you 5-year-olds also to speak about difficult matters. If death makes you afraid, talk to your mother and father about it. And above all, you 5-year-olds and all of you children, trust in this, that the Heavenly Father will lead your life just as He led the life of Joseph. Joseph's brothers said that our father commanded us to say to you, forgive your brothers for their evil deeds. Be gracious unto them, even though they did evil to you. Our Father commanded. Is it not so, dear brothers and sisters, that the Father has commanded us also? The Heavenly Father, the gracious command of the Heavenly Father is preached at the summer services, which is the forgiveness of sins. Sir, many sermons have been held here, and the official opening will be tomorrow. Altogether about 40 sermons. In every single sermon, I can promise beforehand that in all of these sermons, the sermon of the forgiveness of sins will be preached, this gospel about Jesus. this joyful message about Christ, who has won over the power of sin and death and has risen. This joyful message that sins are forgiven by the merit of Christ. And even now, dear brother and sister, at your own address, with your own name, you with which you have been given in baptism, and especially you who feel that you are outside, feel that you are sinful. Everyone who hears this, listening at home or on the way here, this promise of God is powerful and in effect. You can believe, all your sins forgiven. You can believe them forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Be blessed and be secure. And so I also would like to believe, can you preach all my sins forgiven also? I promise to believe. And finally, I will read from the book, from the letter to the Colossians, from the third chapter, that you who are chosen by God, holy and put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. In Jesus' name, amen.